Happy to see all of you. Are you happy to be here? Yeah. Man, that's great. Yeah. Happy to see all of you, and I really do mean it. Especially want to welcome those of you who are joining for the first time. Okay, and Lord welcomes all of you. And it so happened that we're going to talk about the topics. I'm not sure whether you would be so excited to hear about. If you look at the title, so these are heavy words, okay? Resurrection of judgment, okay? Would you just kind of stare at it? Because oftentimes the title itself is the message. It really is, actually. And what I want to share is, without resurrection, there is no gospel and Christianity. Without resurrection, there is no gospel and there is no Christianity. We'll talk afterward, yeah, about spirituality. Without resurrection, there is no gospel and Christianity. And can I just remind you, without judgment, there is no gospel and Christianity. Would you think with me? You know, we are saved by grace. We say, Jesus saved me. Saved from what? Judgment of God, God himself. That's the biblical answer, and that's the proper understanding. Now, interestingly, Jesus himself used this expression in John chapter 5, together. How do you like that? I mean, Jesus is so, I don't know what the right word is. He's right to the point. Resurrection of judgment. Okay, I know these are heavy words, but this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I showed this picture last couple of weeks as we talk about this person who's been invalid for 38 years in John chapter 5. Can you imagine who's been sick and you can't move, immobile for 38 years? Among blinds and lames and paralytics, which I think comprises the humanity. People just don't see, can't move, and don't feel anything. Okay? And Jesus singles out this one man, and he just heals him. Get up. Take up your mat and walk. Okay? But see this Jesus right here? He is the resurrection, and he is the judgment. Did I hear that right? You absolutely heard it right. He is the resurrection and he is the judgment. He absolutely is, actually. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. He clearly states that. What separates Christianity from all the others is resurrection. Without it, it's all religion. Religion will not save anyone. Okay? Religion is not of God, right? So what separates Christianity from all the other religion, all the other ideologies, thoughts and guesses and your whatever is the resurrection. Okay? And what about the judgment? Jesus is the final judge. And we're going to read it today. We already heard it today. All judgment has been entrusted to me. Do you hear it? It's all. Christians and non-Christians. White or Asian, whatnot. It doesn't matter. It really does not matter. All means all. Okay? All will be raised and all stand before the judgment seat of God. And he is the final judge. And you know what? The gospel message is, he came to be judged. Okay, that's kind of like the theme of what I'll be sharing today. I don't know whether you get it. Some of you get it already, right? He's the final judge, and all judgment has been entrusted to him, and he's just judge, and he came to be judged. Many of us say things like this. I want to see justice in this world. Anybody say amen to that? Be careful. because you will see it. Be careful, because we want to see justice in this world. All these child abuse and all these trafficking, human trafficking, all these poverty, all this sickness, all these war, all these aggression, all these crazy world. I want to see justice. But you know, the other side of that is, are you ready to see the judge though? We want to see justice, but we don't want to see the judge. Someone finds it funny. That's good. Yeah. I think it is funny, but that's human irony, or that's the human condition. You want to see justice. Do you really want to see justice? And we do, right? We want to see, you know, only the good die young, right? All the good people die young, and this garbage people become rich and famous and successful. And we hate that. We hate that. There is that part in us, in our conscience, and we want to see justice. And you know what? Bible says you will see justice. Absolutely will. You don't even have to doubt about that. Whether you doubt or not, there's going to be justice. And we call that the day of judgment. And believe it or not, in John chapter 5, as Jesus reveals himself, that's how he identify himself. I am the judge. Okay? Last week in the fifth chapter of John, we talked about Christianity stands or fall based upon who Jesus is, the person of who Jesus is. Your Christianity stands or fall upon who the person of Jesus Christ is. You may know him as a right person. You may just imagine as an imaginary person. Okay? I think a lot of people don't know me. How many of you know me? Can you say amen if you know me? Okay. All right, Dale, thank you. I'm going to say again, okay? How many of you know me? Can you say amen? Amen. Oh, you guys are smart. That's why you're okay. Let me not say amen. You know when to not to say amen. Do you know God? Or do you make up a God? A lot of people don't know God. They think they know. Okay, the question goes like this. Who's the president of the United States? Mr. Trump. Do you know him? Oh, of course I know him. And then I ask again, do you know him? And then people get it. You don't really know him, right? Christianity stands and fall. Your faith and Christianity stands or fall based on who the person of Jesus Christ is. And in this chapter, he himself declare and claim that I am God. I mean, that's just unthinkable. That's just blasphemy. That's just biggest scam in history. How could you claim that you are God when you're not? Right? We talked about this. If Christianity and Jesus is not God, everything is a scam. Everything is a false. Everything is a lie. Everything about Christianity, you should close the church door and get out. Go home. Go watch football or something. Is this football season? Yeah, football. Right? But if he's God, you better listen to him. You better listen to him. You can't just kind of brush it off, kind of postpone it. Next week, next time, next season, you can't do that. Jesus said, my Father has been working. We talked about that. I'm not going to talk about that this week. You know, Jews and the law believe that God has been working and there is no Sabbath. Even during Sabbath, he has to work. Otherwise, your heart will not beat. Do you know how your heart is beating? Right? 70 times a minute, 1,440 minutes per day for next 80 years, if you live that long. How does that beat without life, source of life, giving you life? You see? I introduced five witnesses of Jesus' deity, Jesus is God, and check this five reasons. Number one, Bible. Scripture attests. Scripture proves that. Number two, Jesus himself claims that. Number three, his ministry and his life and the gospel proves that. Number four, history proves that. There are so many witnesses willing to give their life. I mean, their life and their children even. And because of his, Jesus is the Savior and is God. And lastly, fifthly, God himself attests that. Can you challenge this, Bible? What was the second one? Jesus, yeah, Bible, Jesus. Thank you. And then Jesus' ministry, history, and God claims and proves and testifies that he is God. What about you? Do you believe it? Does it matter to him? Good. Colossians and Hebrews chapter 1 has a very distinctive teaching about who Jesus is, his Christology. And check this out. He's the creator. He's the beginning. And he is the consummator. He's the judge. He's the end. Revelation says he's the beginning and the end. Alpha and the Omega. The first and last. Okay? And he's the redeemer. He's the one who saves. And he's the sustainer, everything in between. Did you catch that? He's the beginning, he's the end, he's the redeemer, and he's the sustainer, everything in between. Jesus is not a little dinky God, people. As you know, the person of Christ, Christianity stands and falls upon who the person of Jesus Christ is. And is that the Jesus you know? Is that the Jesus that you believe? Okay. Last week, we looked at this story 2 weeks ago, and this was his third sign in John's gospel. Now, I explained to you several times, a sign is an important thing. When you see a sign that says, New York City, 20 miles, that's an important sign. I love that sign when I'm coming back from New Jersey or something. I'll be home in 10 minutes, I mean 20 minutes, right? 20 miles. So when you see a sign, that's an important thing, but the sign itself is not New York City. But sign points to that great reality of New York City. Now, this is a sign. Sign, a healing, one invalid person who's been sick for 38 years, which is an incredible miracle. It should be on the top, on the newspaper and everything. But that's just a sign. So what is that great reality, New York City, that this sign is pointing toward to? Person of Jesus. Do you know him? Okay, do you know him? When you begin to see the person of Christ, your life changes. Okay, I send this verse to some of you this week. And I want you to take a look at this because this kind of sums up entire Christianity. How Christian life dynamic functions. When the Word became, and the Word became flesh, referring to Jesus coming to this earth, when the Word became flesh, a man, and dwelled among us, we have seen his glory. Glory of one and only Son, from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Skipping 15, verse 16 says, "For him, from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." But I was just kind of meditating. Word refers to Word of God as well. Now, could you picture with me when the Word of God becomes flesh? It becomes you. It becomes part of you. That's who you become. You believe it. You act on it. And you respond to it. It becomes the greatest truth. It becomes the truth. When Word become flesh and dwell among us, what happens? You're going to see the glory of Christ. How? Through the Word of God. When you see the glory of Christ, which we're going to talk about in this chapter 5, what we're going to begin to see is it's the glory of one and only Son, and you're going to understand what grace is. Is that true? That's God, and he loved me, and he gave himself for me. That's grace, isn't it? Do you understand that grace? Okay? And you're going to begin to know what the truth is, because Jesus said, I am the truth. Truly, truly, I say to you, listen. He doesn't even have to say that. But do you notice in the Bible, God continued to tell his people to listen. You know why? I have this feeling that people don't want to listen. Right? Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Truly, truly, I say to you, hear. You know what? When you hear it, you're going to come alive. Right? So when you see his glory, his greatness, which we see here, right? When you see His glory, you're going to understand what grace is and truth is. And out of the fullness of Christ, you begin to have faith being generated in you. Let me kind of summarize it for you. Oh, actually, let Jim Boyce summarize it for you. Okay, Jim Boyce is a very, very reliable, great pastor who went on to be with the Lord. And he used to minister in Philadelphia, 10th Presbyterian Church, 4th Presbyterian Church. Okay, so what happens? Number one, God plans life in you. Without that, you do not want to hear anything. You do not want to know anything. You do not want to believe anything because you are dead, Bible says. You are deaf and dead. God plants His life within you, one whom He desires to become His child. So what happens? You desire. You begin to desire. What happens second is when the life is planted in you, you, because of that new life within, the child now hears the word of God. Hears the word of God. Do you hear it? Then something God is doing in your life. If you don't hear it, that's very, very dangerous. Okay? So, you begin to hear the word of God and you begin to believe. And then what happens? The child increasingly enters into the experience of that life by believing. And you begin to understand. And you begin to see the greatness of God. You begin to see the glory of God. You begin to see the Alpha and Omega-ness of God. He is the beginning and end of God and He's the only Redeemer. And He's the sustainer. He's everything. You begin to see it and you come to a full scope of understanding of what Christianity is, what life is. We call that saving faith, people. Saving faith. But the beginning is God gives life in you. I kind of summarize it this way. Life begins by God giving you life. He's the only source of life. I can't do it. Your parents can't do it. You cannot do it to yourself. A dead person cannot do CPR to himself. That's impossible. Someone with a life and desire to give life need to give you life. So God gives you life, and you begin to hear the word of God. You know, the true sign of regeneration and rebirth, you begin to hunger for the word of God. You want to know. You desire to know. Hungry to know. Okay? And you begin to hear and you begin to believe. And as you do that, you begin to see the glimpse of greatness and glory of Christ. And you get hunger even more. As you study the word, seeing in His light, faith is being generated in you. Generated in you. Even right now, faith is being generated in you. And then you come to one day you understand the full scope of understanding. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And you realize it's all about Him. It's not so much about my studies. It's not so much about my degree. It's not even so much about your marriage. It's not so much about my business. It's not so much about how much I'm going to give to Him. It's not so much about you. It's all about Him. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So, that being said, and that's the dynamic of Christianity. So what do we see in today's text about the glory of Christ? Do we see the glory of Christ? In this section, so interestingly, he mentions the word judgment five times. Five times. That's quite a bit. Okay? Let's look at it together. Verse 22, right there. Moreover, Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to Jesus. Did you hear it? Do you hear it? All judgment to Jesus. Okay, verse 24. Okay, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word, do you hear it? And believe him who sent me has eternal life, and then the judging word. And will not be judged. So that's a negative way of saying what salvation is, having eternal life, is that you do not see judgment. I'll give you a little heads up. Without going through the judgment, you will never enter into the throne of grace. Without going through the judgment of righteous judge, you will never enter into the presence of God. Okay? But has crossed over, okay? Crossed over from death to life. One more, 27. Verse 27 says, when he has given him authority to execute judgment. He's the executioner of the judgment. Okay? Because he is the Son of Man. Now, with that Son of Man is without definite article. So, Son of Man without definite article. So, I don't think that is referring to Daniel chapter 7, that great Son of Man, but a man, a man. Okay? So I give you some things that Jesus, who Jesus is about, the greatness of Christ and the glory of Christ. As you look at these verses, can I just ask you, is that a small person? Is that a small person? Is the doctrine of judgment biblical? Is that Christian? Let me just give you some verses, okay? The day of God's judgment is spoken of in many places in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament. I'm going to give you four, okay? Romans 2:16. The day when God will judge man's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. Clearly declares that, okay? Revelation chapter 20, we've been talking about this verse many, many, many times. There's going to be a final, final judgment, which is called white throne judgment, based on your act and your deed. Are you hearing this? Based on your life that you lived. Jesus said, I'm going to repay you according to what you have done. Okay? John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29 says, do not marvel at this. Hour is coming when all who are in the tombs. That's who? Who's that? All. I was reading someone's message that includes Michael Jackson, that includes Adolf Hitler, that includes your parents if they are not alive, that includes you. It starts from Adam to all humanity. Bible says all who are in the tomb will hear his voice, and they're going to come out like Lazarus. John chapter 11, Lazarus, come forth. We see the sign there too. Lazarus comes forth, and someone who's been dead for 4 days, he comes out, right? So he comes out, those who have done good, listen to this, to the resurrection of life, and those who have been done evil, to the resurrection of judgment. Okay, do you see it? So that's the third one. I want to give you the fourth one. It's in Acts chapter 17. Okay, it's 17, not 130. Paul is in Athens. That's the epicenter of the knowledge and wisdom and the best of the best of that time, of Greek Roman Empire. And he speaks to these non-Christians, non-Jews, about God of the Bible. Listen to this. Hope you read everything, but this is what he said to them. The time of ignorance, God overlooked. Until now, you didn't know. So God overlooked. But now, he commands all people everywhere to repent. All people everywhere to repent. Because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man. Do you see that? Son of Man? By a man. Someone who became a man. Someone who was tempted in every ways. Someone who understands. Someone who qualifies. He's God, man. By a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all. Who's that? Who's that person? Raising him from the dead. only person who was raised and who raised from the dead and still alive is Jesus. It's going to be Jesus. Okay. I want to give you some inputs about this doctrine of judgment. Okay, number one, it'll be all who will be resurrected. Christians and non-Christians. Asians and or not. John Piper, okay. John Piper put it really, really well. Would you listen to this? All these people, millions and more, all people without exception will be raised from the dead by Jesus. Jesus is universally superior to all these people. He is universally sovereign over all these people. He holds them in being and he gives existence to their decomposed bodies, so that there is a continuity between the body that was and the body that will be raised. Oh, man. These people, whether you cremate or whether you place in a coffin, body decompose. But God will bring them together. Jesus will bring them together. Okay? He let no one go out of existence. That's a huge statement. There is no such loss for the righteous and no such hope for the wicked. Jesus raised them all. Okay? It'll be all. Christians and non-Christians in history will rise, come out of their tombs, and there's going to be resurrection. Two categories of resurrection. Resurrection of life and then resurrection of judgment. Okay? Secondly, this means that, and I say this all the time in the funeral services, it's probably the first time I say to young people, but death, physical death is not the end. Rather, Christianity speaks that what comes after is clearly, repeatedly stated that about the end, and the physical death is not the end. Okay? Thirdly, and finally, the judgment is based on your work, your deed, and your life. Okay? That's what the scripture says, people. Gospel states that. Romans chapter 2 says, according to what you have done. Okay? And it says that in Revelation chapter 20. Okay? It's according to the life that you have lived. Gospel, Romans, and Revelation confirms. Entire Bible confirms that God judges by your act and deeds and life. Did I hear that right? Yes, you did hear it right. Salvation is by grace and grace alone, faith alone, absolutely. But the judgment is by your act and work and deeds, absolutely biblical. I'm going to pause for a second. Okay, I'm going to pause for a second, okay, because I feel like I want to stop the message right here and send you home. Should I do that? Yeah. I think that'll be a good thing, but I don't think I will. But I think we need to know this. Then you will understand grace. Then you'll understand gospel. Otherwise, I don't think you understand the grace, understand grace or gospel. I don't think you do. Okay? Then how do you reconcile the two? Salvation is by grace and faith alone, yet judgment, final judgment, everything will be exposed. Everything is exposed. There are books written in Revelation chapter 20, books written that everything you have done is recorded. Everything is recorded, people. Every word you have spoken is recorded. Every thought is recorded. Right? So how do you reconcile the two? Is this Christianity and is this the gospel? And I'm going to try to explain this in two ways. Number one, by the reformers, and number two, by Jesus. So I think the second one is better. Okay, but the first one, by the reformers. Reformers used to put it this way. Listen to this. Maybe you'll get it today. Salvation is by grace and faith alone, but saving faith is never alone. You hear it, right? You hear it. Salvation is by grace and grace alone. What Christ has done is Christ's righteousness, but saving faith is never alone. Okay. The second one, the better one, I think, Jesus said, you will know the tree by the fruits. Okay? And of course, you will know the tree, whether there is a life or not, by seeing whether there is fruits or not. How could a tree that is alive have no fruits? John chapter 15, Jesus himself said, if you remain in me, abide in me, mano in me, and my word remain in you, you will bear much fruits. Do you see it? In other words, fruits and deeds and works themselves will never save you. But this validates, proves the life that you have in Christ in you. Okay, that's how it is, people. Okay, that's how it is. Now, it says here, when you look at Jesus' word, there's two type of resurrection. Okay, you're all going to be resurrected, one or the other. One is resurrection of life, okay, and the other one is resurrection of judgment. And what differentiates the two? The life you lived, the deeds and works. Those who have done good will be raised to the resurrection of life. Those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Some of you feeling, okay, maybe I'm okay. Some of you may be saying, oh, am I okay? I don't know where you are. And I thought about this verse and I investigated. What does it mean that you have done good? You give some money to poor people once in a while. You think that will save you? Dale doesn't think so. You think you're going to a mission field once for a couple weeks, that'll save you? That's a good work? No, I don't think that's how it is. And as I investigate about this verse and meditate about this verse, no one is good except God alone. Right? So God needs to be at the center of your life. All your purpose, all your plans, all your desires, will of God, purpose of God, what he treasures, you treasure, what he hates, you hate. So you live for him, and you think about his calling, you think about his purpose, you think about his honor, you think about his glory, what he loves, you love, what he treasures, you treasure. You love the lost, and you love the church, you love the kingdom. That's what it means to live to good, right? And then going to the needy and poor, help out the people. That's what it means. We're not talking about portion, but as an entirety. I think that's what it means that you live for the good. Okay? I was reading this week, and I came to realize Christianity, we believe that if my life is a play, the curtain will come down abruptly. If you believe in Christianity, okay, the history is a play, the whole universe, and the main, I guess, actor is Jesus, and God is the playwright, you know, and whatnot. But we believe that the curtain will come down abruptly. How many of you believe that? Can you say amen? That's what the scripture says, people. It's going to come down abruptly. And those who love him will be long for that day. And living for the good. And those who do not love him, they're so scared to death, and you should be. You should be, people. Okay? I want to give you a final thought, which is the gospel now. I think you're ready for gospel. Okay? We got to come to this point to hear the gospel. We take gospel so like nothing. We take Christianity so like nothing. We take God like so nothing. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of God, and his judgment will be just, righteous. I asked this question to Africans when we went to Africa, when we were studying Romans. How righteous is God? How just is God? Perfect righteousness. Infinite righteousness. Oh, I missed 2 out of 100. No, you don't. Even if you do miss 2, you still will be judged. Because if you break 1, you break everything. But the truth of the matter is, you cannot even get 1 thing right. Not even 1 thing right. Okay? So, what's the gospel? Verse 30. There's a delay here. I don't know why. Okay. I can do nothing on my own as I hear. I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Can I just ask you, what is the will of God? Will of God is he desires all men to be saved. He desires all men to be saved. That includes Adolf Hitler. That includes Bin Laden. That includes you. He desires all men to be saved. That is why he sent his son. Okay? That is why, you see? Not for your prosperity, not for your medical school, whatnot. No! Not for your better marriage. For all to be saved. So, what did he do? It's pretty amazing what he did. He desires all men to be saved, 1 Timothy, and come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do you hear him and believe the one who sent him? Why did he send him, right? And I want to just explain with Romans chapter 3, verse 25 and 26, which I think it is the greatest, one of the greatest verses in the Bible, okay? Speaks about Romans 3:20 says, there is absolutely no chance for you to save yourself by your own deeds and work. You could never do that, but you will be saved this way, okay? Through Jesus, whom God put forward, okay? Forward to where? To the cross. God put him there. Why did he do that? To judge him. Because cross is the judgment. God put him forward as a propitiation or sacrifice of atonement. The word is hilasterion, and the propitiation is a judgment wrath word. It means to satisfy the price of the sin, and it means to appease the wrath of God. How do you do that? How do you appease the holiness of God? How do you do that? You take the judgment. Jesus took the judgment. Yeah. Right? By his blood. His blood is your judgment. Right? To be received by faith. And this is to show his righteousness. How righteous is he? Perfect. Infinite. How in the world are we going to stand before him? With your righteousness. Filthy rags. It has to be perfect. Right? Verse 26. It was to show his righteousness. You want to see justice? You see him right here. And we're going to see it one more time at the final judgment. You do not have to worry about that, people. You do not have to worry about that. You should worry about yourself, whether you are ready to see the judge. Okay? It was to show his righteousness, judgment at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. You know what? God is so just, he had to do that. He had to put Jesus forward on the cross. He is so just, so perfectly just, so infinitely just. He had to put his only son on the cross because that's how just he is. And at the same time, he justifies you if you put your faith in him. Do you see the glory of Christ? Greatness of Christ, people. Full of grace, full of truth. From his fullness, we all have received grace upon grace, faith upon faith. That's Christianity, people. So chins up. Humble yourself. Really humble yourself, people. That's the judgment. Only through that judgment you enter into the throne of grace. Those who hears his word and believes in the one whom he sent him will have eternal life, and you will not see judgment, and you have crossed over from death into life. There is no way to get away, people. All will be resurrected. All will be judged. The question is whether you're going to see this judgment in your life or we're going to see the final judgment. Let's pray.